can remember being confused because I didn't understand. You mean that guy from Digital Underground? And I know that there's something going on between him and Biggie Smalls, but that guy, y'all are this. But I was not a hip hop head, and I didn't understand his impact until years later. Throwbacks, chapter 1, verse 4. What's good? Welcome or welcome back to Throwbacks, the place where we get to share the unexpected theology of old school hip hop and R&B. I'm your host, Derek J. Murphy, and I'm a pastor, teacher, and writer of the book Throwbacks, where we take old songs from the 80s, 90s, and the early 2000s, talk about what the song means to us, and talk about what the song means in context, and then flip it to add inspiration, motivation, and value to your life. I pray that you've been enjoying the conversation because I believe this is a conversation worth having, especially if you're like me and you have a love for this old school music. And so, without any further ado, let's get right into the year 1995. Man, 1995 is 30 years ago. And that just makes no sense. That 1995 is 30 years ago. In 1995, this marks the beginning of the information age. This is when the World Wide Web became fully privatized, and AOL and Prodigy offered access to the general public. And you remember getting those CDs in the mail? We can get so many hours of AOL or internet, and somebody had to be off the phone, and you'd have to listen to the dial-up 30 years ago. 1995 was the year of the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this was a major event, and if you remember it, you can probably picture it in your mind because we had never seen anything like that on American soil. And since we have had so many other terrorist attacks in America that it's not quite as shocking anymore, but 1995, the Oklahoma City bombing. 1995 also marked the year of the OJ trial. And y'all can argue all you want to in the comments about whether he did it or not. I have my own opinions. And if you know me well, you know what I think, but I keep that to myself. 1995 was the OJ trial. And in 1995, I was a freshman in high school, ninth grade, Texas High, class of 98. This was the year that our particular artist for this week became an icon. And this is none other than Tupac Amaru Shakur, born Lassane Parrish Cooks, ironically in New York City. He later changed his name to Tupac, relocated to Baltimore at 13, then to the California Bay Area at 17. He grew up as the son of activists and attended a high school for the performing arts. And it was there that he learned how to marry his activism and political ideals to his artistry through his rapping, through his poetry, and even through his acting, because Tupac was an amazing and gifted artist that allowed his audience to feel his emotions through whatever medium that he was creating his art with. And so he learned that in his performing arts high school. And when he switched over into a music career in California, he started out with a group by the name of Digital Underground, led by Shock G. Now, if you were from that era and you know who I'm talking about, Digital Underground was this almost like a comedy rap group. They were very whimsical. But they actually started out with a more militant sound. They were trying to take the path of a Public Enemy or an NWA. But when things didn't really work out the way that they wanted to commercially, because at the time it was harder to get your footing with that type of sound. Shock G decided to take the more whimsical approach and created the character Humpty Hump. Now, I'm going somewhere with this because you got to understand, this felt more like a comedy group. They weren't someone, or they weren't a group that you would really take seriously from a gangster rap perspective. But Tupac was in this group, and he was featured on the last verse of the single Same Song from the Nothing But Trouble movie soundtrack. Jimmy Drite, who was manager for the group, Digital Underground, he recalls Tupac not being able to work well with the group. He said that this guy was on a mission, and from day one, maybe he knew that he wasn't going to be around 7 years later. And so it was as if he was a man running out of time, kind of like Hamilton, okay? He was working and grinding and trying to accomplish something, because if you fast forward just a few years later, he becomes a solo artist, signed to Death Row Records, and becomes the central figure of the East Coast, West Coast beef. And this song that we're discussing today becomes the West Coast anthem. What song is it? You know it. California Love. I'm sorry. I got a little lost. California Love becomes the West Coast anthem in this conflict. It was produced by Dr. Dre featuring Funkmaster Roger Troutman. Now, I admit, and I've admitted before, that I liked hip hop music, but I was not a hip hop head. I had no idea that Dr. Dre was a master producer until years later. Because again, I was not a hip hop head. Dr. Dre gave sort of a gritty spin on a typical Dr. Dre beat, but maintained the Ohio funk motif with Roger over the beat doing his vocordeset. Now, what Roger would do, he would run his voice through a synthesizer and make him sound like he was playing the keyboard with his voice. And this was a mainstay in funk, in the funk era of the late 70s and the early 80s, that hip hop began to sample in the 90s. And so while this song takes that vibe, it was a grittier feel. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but the song that we know today as California Love is actually a remix. And the original version apparently has been wiped from the internet, because I can't find it anywhere. And I would love, if anybody out there has a copy of it, I would love to compare the original version of this song to this remix. But I did know this remix, and it was heavily played on the radio, and of course, The video had this dystopian theme, kind of like Mad Max, where they were driving around in the desert, and it was set in a post-apocalyptic Oakland, California. Tupac and Dr. Dre are apparently at war with a made-up Clifton Powell. Clifton Powell kind of looked like George Clinton in this video, but they were at war with him. And the video begins with him, Clifton Powell, and Chris Tucker, who are holding some hostages that Dr. Dre and Tupac going to rescue. And the video is about, you know, them going to war with each other. And the visual was very gritty and underground, and it made you really feel the music that was going over the visuals. Now, as far as the lyrics, Dr. Dre and Tupac are just simply talking about living a California lifestyle. Dr. Dre says, it's the place where the dance floor is never empty. And I know a lot of people have that view of California, that it's a magical, wonderful place where dreams come true. And even Tupac, when he comes in on his verse, out on bail, fresh out of jail, California dreaming. Soon as I step on the stage, I'm hearing Hoochie screaming. You know, it just made you feel like it's always a good time in California. And so this song, it was a party song. And even though it was a party song, you could dance to it, it was technically gangster rap. And it was an anthem of a beef between the East Coast and the West Coast. You can forget that this was technically gangster rap because it was so danceable and memorable. But the impact of the song is that this is arguably one of Tupac's most popular songs. It gave him crossover appeal that would be played even today because it reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100, making it a pop hit, and it was even an international hit. And it solidifies Tupac as a hip-hop icon. Now, just a couple of years later, Tupac would no longer be here with us. And I can remember being in high school and getting word of Tupac's passing. Let me just say Tupac's murder, passing from his murder. And I can remember being confused because I didn't understand. You mean that guy from Digital Underground? I mean, I know California Love, that song is bumping. And I know that there's something going on between him and Biggie Smalls, but that guy, y'all are this. But I was not a hip hop head, and I didn't understand his impact until years later. And today, even today, the impact of Tupac Shakur in hip hop lingers, and it has a lot to do with the impact of this song. So how do we get from the impact of Tupac Shakur to a biblical truth? How do we get from California Love to adding value to our life? The scripture is St. John chapter 4, 1 through 42. And don't worry, I'm not going to read it. I want you to read that on your own time. But California is a unique place. And the people who live there, I believe, love to tell you where they're from. They're fully aware that there is no other place like California. California is a destination for millions of vacationers and dreamers with bright lights and big cities in their eyes. However, those from there wear it as a badge of honor, even if they have to move somewhere else. I know people who have lived in Texas for 30 years and still identify themselves as from California, and it just amazes me. It's good to know where you're from, even emotionally and spiritually, even if that place isn't favorable. And it's even better not to forget it. Now, I don't mean in a way of longing or wanting to return to a toxic environment, but to always keep that place, wherever you're from, in your memory for this reason. Some people are still there, and they need you to identify with them. You were brought out of that place, but you know and remember what it's like to be there. You should have patience and compassion for those who are still there. Your testimony provides hope for those who hear it and long to be where you are now. Love them enough not to abandon them in that place, but also be careful not to end up drifting back to that place yourself. Knowing where you've come from should be the greatest motivation not to return there and set up residence. You intimately know the signs, and if you aren't careful, you can ignore them and return to the dangerous comforts of that place. Love yourself enough to be aware of your emotional and spiritual surroundings so you don't end up back there yourself. According to the Gospel of John, chapter 4, Jesus comes across a woman who lived in Samaria. In that place, everyone knew her and her dirty, not so little secrets. Because of her history, she was subject to whispers and the focus of stares. Her situation was so severe that she would purposefully avoid any interactions with others there. It was under these circumstances that she encounters Jesus. And he was the first person to confront her past without condemning her for it. His unconditional love and undeniable power rescued her from her emotional prison, giving her freedom that she had never experienced before. Now, it would have been reasonable for her to just have dropped everything and followed Jesus to a new life elsewhere. In fact, if I were her, that's probably what I would have done. But she was different. She knew where she come from. She also knew that there was power in her testimony. So instead of filling up with shame and running away, she went right back there. She was open and honest about what happened. And because of that, a revival breaks out in the city. If there are places in your past that you are glad you were delivered from, wear it as a badge of honor. Whether you're out on bail, fresh out of jail, or from a state that's untouchable like Elliot Ness, let people know where you come from. Don't glorify the place, but glorify the grace. The grace that saved you, because it is the same grace that keeps you and saves others. Don't be ashamed of the fact that you were there. Own it and let others find hope in your story. I hope you have enjoyed this time together, reminiscing about the iconic song. Make sure that you go and listen to the playlist on Spotify. There is even a playlist on YouTube as well. You can find the playlist there and listen to this song and all of the others from the podcast as well as from the book. And you can go back and listen to past episodes of this particular podcast so that you can get all of the inspiration that you didn't know was there when you loved these songs. And so I want to thank you for joining me. Know that God loves you best, and I love you best I can, and we'll see you next time. Peace.